everybody? Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. What a beautiful, beautiful day Lord's given us. I'm just really excited about what the Lord's got in store for us. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Just love the Lord. Anyone on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Miss Lori? Absolutely. Absolutely. Most definitely, each and every one of them. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Anyone on the left side tonight, my left, with a spoken prayer request? All right, praise God. All righty. Roxton?
Yes, our cousin Sarah and her husband Joel in Alabama. Sarah calls that they both have COVID. She's getting better. He's in the hospital, already on the vent, and he had a stroke while he was in the hospital. So he really needs our prayers. She's reaching out to as many people as she possibly can to hold him up in prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If there are so many prayer requests, and I know that you watching online, I apologize that you couldn't hear the request, but you know, God is a great God, and we know that He is a healer, and that He can touch each and every situation without a shadow of a doubt. And if you're watching online and you have a prayer request, just put it in the comments section. Pray with us. We believe in the power of the Lord and His healing and His touching and His provisions. So let's just continue to pray for each and every situation this evening. If you haven't unspoken, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, God knows and sees each and every one. Brother Eddie, would you lead us in opening prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come tonight to love you and to thank you, God, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for those who've gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that you would pour out of your spirit and your anointing to power. We do remember those who are sick tonight, the many requests, God, that have already been called in. Lord, and I pray, God, that you would reach out to each and every need tonight. God, we know that you're the healer of the body. Father, we ask you to move, especially those who are in the hospitals and the nursing homes tonight. God, I pray for healing and strength for their body. Lord, we ask now that the Holy Ghost will just lead us and guide us throughout every part of this service, every word spoken, every song sung tonight. Let it be for your honor, for your glory. Lord, we look to you to give you all the praise. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all that know me and you know that a lot of the songs that we do out of the Red Book Hymnal, there's a lot of them are the same, but there's so many differences in it. But the one tonight I want to do is Victory in Jesus, and I know we do it a lot. It's something we've sung here sometimes with just a guitar, sometimes with no music at all, even some of the visitations we've done. But there's a reason for that title, and I want y'all just for a moment, just think of those three words, but most of all the third one. There's victory in Jesus. That is the only name above all names that we can go to and find any peace, any hope, and any joy, and that's Jesus. And as we go to Him, even from our prayers all the way through our service, I want you to keep in your heart and in your mind right now that there is victory in Jesus, no matter what you see on 2, 5, and 11 or the other cable stuff, everything going on in the world. We're just going to give it all to the Lord and let Him just start with ourselves and just let it burst out to our home and to our nation. Praise God. Praise God. Victory in Jesus. Let's everybody just sing along. Heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save us. Like me, I heard about His groaning. God, it got stuck on me. But God is great. And as we talk about that victory, I just want to take just a moment of your time as we get ready to take up our offering and then to call on our special singers. But those words mean so much. And I guess I have to be honest with you. There are situations that I've been through in my life that God has brought me through. That if you'd asked me how I was going to get through it or my family was going to get through it, there was no way. But only through the love of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, through His mercy and grace on me and my family, has He brought us through so much. And He'll do the same for you tonight as He does to anyone else. It's not exclusive. His arms are open for all of us. Just to call Him just accept Him as our Lord and Savior and just let that precious blood that we sing about, that He shed for you and I, because He knows the situation we're in now. And He knows that through that blood, it's powerful enough to cleanse anything. It's white, it's crimson, and just beautiful. Praise the Lord, praise God. Love the Lord this evening. Brother Jim, would you just ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you. We're so blessed with all the talent God has given us. Sister Nikki, if you'd go ahead and come on down, please. And then Sister Linda after her, if you want to start working your way this. And then Brother Jim. Praise God.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. Shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there. Sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day. Shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Brother Jim's got us popping up here like popcorn, so we just doing what he says, just come closer. Am I on? Am I on?
Okay.
I'm not very loud.
There you go.
Thank you. Most of the time I don't need anything real loud anyway, but y'all know how my voice carries, but I've got so much. I got so much to thank God for. I don't know for the ones of you that got the text the other day, but I give praise to the Lord for a miracle that was in the making for 3 years, and God took care of it. He took care of it, and I got to tell you what it is, because it has hindered me up here lots of times. I had something in my throat. I do not know what it was. It felt like a growth to me. I've had doctors look at it. I've had them to, you know, go down my nose and in my throat and everywhere, and just could not find anything. Said everything looks fine. I said, Lord, I know there's something in there. You know, it's not just sinuses. It's just not reflux. You know, they was trying to lay it on both of those, but it wasn't that. I said, Lord, there's something in there. And I said, I need you to move it. That's my request, Lord. I need an answer to this prayer. Well, the other night, whenever I come down for prayer during revival, and Brother Jeff Morrow, he prayed for me. He first looked at me and he told me, he says, I don't know what's going on with you. God's not told me that. But he said, I can tell you that God is going to touch you.
All right.
Hallelujah. And that he did. I can swallow. I might not be able to sing tonight because I am a bit emotional, but I can swallow and I do not feel that thing moving in my throat. And I give God every bit of the praise. So thank you all very much. So even more, the reason I have got to sing, I've got so much to thank Him for. Let Him know that you love Him. Give Him a handful of praise. And sometimes while on this way I stop to kneel and say thank you.
Do something a little different tonight. The band can take a break. You can go out for coffee or whatever you need, all right? But I'm going to try something a little different tonight. This is a song that listen to the words in it. It's called Down on My Knees. Down on my knees.
about my Jesus down on my knees. I found my Lord. It wasn't on a mountain, not in a valley, but it was on my knees. I found my Lord. Once I was blind, I could not see the glory of Jesus, so rich and free. I haven't heard about him, the man of Galilee. I cried out, Lord, oh help me please, down on my knees. I found my Jesus down on my knees. I found my Lord. It wasn't on a mountain, not in a valley, but it was on my knees. I found my Lord. He took my hands, I held up high, and he saw the tears I have cried. Oh, he came down and he held me tight, and he said, my child, you are mine. I went down the Lord, have mercy please. He had compassion, he showed me love. Now I praise the Lord above. Down on my knees I found my Jesus, down on my knees, I found my Lord. It wasn't on a mountain, not in a valley, but it was on my knees, I found my Lord. But it was on my knees, I found my Lord. But it was on my knees, I found my Lord.
I like what Brother Eddie says all the time, you know. You can talk to the Lord any place, in the car, wherever you go. You know, he's always saying that. But, you know, I always think about, too, when he talks about when he accepted the Lord and how he came to the altar, knowing he was on my knees. And when I heard this song, you know, as a child, that's all I could remember. People coming to the altar and falling on their knees, you know. And I was always taught, whether it's at home, beside your bed, or wherever it's at, the knees is where you find the Lord. Ain't that true? So, God bless you.
Amen. I believe when we're on our knees, we're closer to the Lord. Amen. Humbles us down, amen, to be able to come to the Lord. And what a privilege and honor it is to be able to come to our Lord and Savior. Amen. Anybody blessed this week? Amen. Are you happy? Praise God.
We used to sing a song that said, if you're happy, then your face will surely show it, I guess. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. Let's
Looks like when you walk around town, there's a lot of unhappy folks.
Come on, bro.
Or if it is, they're keeping it well concealed. How many knows, after all of this is over, we got a better place to go to? Amen. Oh, life has been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. Oh, but I'm weary from the struggle of it all. So I listen, how I listen for His call. Heaven sounds sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. I know it's hard to lose a loved one. The blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's gonna wipe every tear from our eyes. When we meet in that land beyond the sky, heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter. I'm gonna leave this world behind. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. And it is true.
Amen. Every song I hear about heaven, every scripture I read about that eternal promise makes me know, man, that Jesus Christ Himself He's gone away to prepare a place that where He is, we may be also. And how wonderful a promise that is to know. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to begin in the book of Psalms, the 79th Psalm, a Psalm of Asaph. We're going to be going into also the book of Isaiah, and also finally into the book of Jeremiah. Now rest assured, we're not going to cover the whole book. It is Wednesday night, and I understand that. But I do want to make reference on some scriptures in Isaiah and also in Jeremiah. But to begin with, in Psalms 79, the psalmist writes, O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord, will thou be angry? Forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire?
Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that they have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. O, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for this night and this opportunity to gather together, Lord, in one mind and one accord, God, to worship and honor and glorify you. We thank you for those who've come this way tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that we'll be blessed tonight by your Holy Spirit. I ask humbly, God, that you anoint these lips of clay tonight, God, just to use this vessel in whatever manner you want, God. Lord, and let us hear from heaven tonight. God, let us hear direction. Let us hear instruction. God, with your compassion and your love. And Father, we do remember so many in our nation are hurting. Many are sick. Many are afflicted. Many are in the hospitals right now, even as we have church. And Father, I pray, God, that your healing hand would reach out to each and every need tonight. Touch them, anoint them, and have your will and way. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I love the Psalms. I've often said from the pulpit, when I seemingly need a refreshing or an uplifting, or just maybe need to hear or feel a touch from the Lord, I often go to the Psalms because there's so many uplifting scriptures and verses that we find. David didn't write the whole Psalms, but he wrote a good many of them. And several of the psalmists began to write some things in there that are very, very uplifting. But there's also some things in there that are very tragic. This is what we find here in the Psalm of Asaph. Many scholars and theologians believe that this was referring to the Babylonian invasion. You know, it could have been that. Jerusalem was invaded so many times, and the children of Israel were taken captive so many times. And in every single case, it was because they took their eyes off of God, and they begin to look after other things, and we've spent a lot of time talking about that. But whatever the case was, it was a terrible situation for the children of Egypt, for the children of Israel, or Jacob. He refers to the people of Jacob, which his late name was later changed to Israel. So it was a time of devastation. It was a time of total destruction. And we find that the psalmist here is beginning to write, and if you will notice, there's not only remorse in his verses, but there's anger in his verses. There's vengeance, if you begin to read it, I think, in the tone that he began to write. First of all, he basically, and I know you don't need to remind God of how bad the situation is, but we as human beings often do that. Many times we start our prayer off with telling God, going into great detail, by the way, just how bad it is in our situation or whatever the situation may be, whether it's us, whether it's sickness or affliction or things are not going right. We even sometimes in my past, I've even told the Lord some of the terrible things I'm having to go through when I was working, like he didn't know. God knows everything there is about us when he gives us strength. But we find here that the psalmist begins to write, and he tells him, and it is a bad situation when supposedly the Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire came in, and they were very destructive, and they were very evil, and took few prisoners, but a lot of people, they just slew them and let them lay on the streets, and they even went into the temple and destroyed it and killed the priest, God's anointed priest, and left them for the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field to come in. And I know this is a little grotesque, but even to lick up the blood that was there. But what they wanted to do was put absolute fear in the children, not only in the children of Israel, but any other kingdom around that even come against the Babylonian Empire, because all it wanted to do was conquer, 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 and this was what happened. Now we know that for a number of years, God had a protective hedge around the children of Israel.
The protective hedge that he had around the children of Israel was basically because the children of Israel repented and began to serve God again. Many, many times they would turn from that, but they would always come back and they would repent of their sins and they would ask God again to visit their land. And this is what happened. And as I was reading that, I thought I was almost seemingly reading current events that are happening in the world today, because I want to just share with you today, there's a lot of anger in the world today. There's a lot of finger pointing in the world today. And I'm not here to hold up one side and put down another side. I'm just telling you what is in and what is prevalent in the land today. There's a lot of destruction, more physical and spiritual destruction, I think, maybe even more spiritual destruction, even more so than the physical destruction that's in the world today. And there are probably a lot of Christians that are shaking their heads and wondering, how long, God? How long? How long will we have to go through this? And the question was asked by Asaph, how long, Lord? How long are we going to be in misery? How long are we going to be made to suffer? You need to come, basically, is what he's saying, paraphrasing now. And you need to take vengeance against our enemies. Now, the God that I serve, the Bible constantly talks about God being a God of love. Amen? Can I get an amen? God is love. And we're supposed to love one another as God has loved us. And I know that God is aware of every destructive thing that goes on in the world. Everything that's against the church. Everything that's against God's people. But somehow I'm feeling in the church world today, and I'm not necessarily talking about this local church, but I'm talking about the church world as a whole. I'm almost feeling some frustration. I'm feeling some aggravation, almost in the same tone that Asaph began to write. Now, Asaph had written some beautiful verses, some beautiful psalms, some wonderful psalms of praise and adoration and glorifying God. But he was not in a good mood of praising God. He was not in a good mood of thinking how wonderful things was around him and around Jerusalem and around the nation. It was more a poetry of frustration and aggravation and blaming and finger-pointing and saying, God, look at the situation here. These are your people. These are those that have worshipped you over the years, and you see what it has brought us, and you see the death and the torment and the misery and all that is around us. And as so often the case, and even with David, I've noticed in several of his psalms, when he would begin in the first few verses of his psalms, he was in a bad mood. He was in a feel sorry for me type mood. And he would begin to pour his heart out to God and begin to tell the Lord the things. But seemingly before he finished his psalm, maybe God checked his heart. I don't know if anybody else is here tonight other than myself, who's had God to check your heart. Especially when we're in one of those moods, when we're in one of those times when all that we can think about is negative things, and that's what infiltrates our prayer so many times, negative things. God, look what's going on. Look at this, look at that, all these problems, all these situations. And sometimes before we get through praying, God kind of reminds us, and here's the wonderful thing about God, he kind of lets us spew it out. Amen. He'll kind of give us a little rope there, a little slack, and we'll spew it out. And all of a sudden, his Holy Spirit begins to minister to us and let us know, wait a minute. You haven't told anything about the blessings. You haven't said anything about the breath that I have breathed into your nostrils and you became a living soul. You haven't told anything about all that I've allowed you to have and how wonderful things have been in life. All that you're hearing is negative things. And then we have a repentive heart and a repentive spirit. And then before our prayer is over, or in many cases David's Psalms were over, we find that he's praising and glorifying God. Thank God for that. Thank God that he loves us in spite of our bad moods. Thank God that he loves us in spite of our quarreling and our moaning and our groaning. children of Israel were probably the best at moaning and groaning if things didn't go exactly like they wanted them to go. So Asaph is writing here, and basically I think what his intention is God, strike them down. God, take your power and come against these heathens that have come in and destroyed our land and killed our priest and allowed our blood to run in the streets. Lord, you need to come on the scene. You need to take vengeance on these people. And he says there, pour out thy wrath upon the heathen. Can I just stop and say, that's no way for a Christian to pray. Church, I know we get aggravated. I know we get frustrated. I'm going to use that other word. I know we get mad sometimes. It's hard not to. Because even though we're Christians, we are human. You know what? A long, long time ago, my grandmother told me, and she was I remember, you know, she was a cheek pincher. And she would do that sometimes. She said, you know what the biggest problem is? And I said, what, my mother? She said, it's that old flesh. She said, if you ever just reach up there and pinch yourself and you'll know that's what's giving you the biggest problem. We know that. We're Christians. We're born again. Amen. By the precious blood of Jesus. Can you put your hands together for that? Can you at least thank him for salvation? Heard one preacher say, he never promised us a rose garden. Amen. Things are going to be tough. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver them out of them all. But I know that we're human, and as humans, sometimes we get frustrated, aggravated, even mad, and we begin to point fingers of accusation, and we begin to call on God to come down and do something to those that seek harm to us. And Asaph was exactly the same way. Pour out your wrath, amen, upon the heathen that have not known thee. Shouldn't a Christian say, Lord, convert those people that have not known thee? Lord, save their soul like you saved mine. God, convict their lifestyle as you convicted mine. God, shed your mercy and your grace upon them as you did me. But Asaph has said, no, you know what? They need to be devoured. They need to be taken off of the earth. He said, pour out your wrath on those that have not known thee and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. You know, Lord, they deserve it because they have devoured Jacob or Israel and laid waste to his dwelling place. And then something happens. There is not really a pause there from verse 7 and 8. There's not a time of, wait a minute and I'll get back with you. But in my mind, and this is just ideology, I think maybe he put his pen down for a moment and the Holy Spirit checked him. Or God checked him. Amen. And who said a while ago, if you've never been checked by God, you're either a perfect person or you haven't submitted. Because God chastises them that he loves. Yes, he does. Just as a parent, a loving parent, God chastises us. Has to reel us back in every once in a while. Amen? And he does. And you know, chastises us with love, though, because it's for our correction. So something happened between that particular verse and the next verse. Because his mindset changes. Thank you, Lord, for changing my mindset. Thank you, Lord, for changing my heart, my lifestyle. And Lord, still, with your salvation, with your precious shed blood that washed my sins away, and I believe that with all of my heart, not condoning or compromising or even making excuses for the sins that I've committed in the world. But my Bible tells me that if I have faith to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and through his precious shed blood, I could be born again. I took advantage of that and I came to an altar of repentance, like Brother Jim said, and I gave my sin-sick life to Jesus Christ, and through his precious shed blood, he saved me and filled me with his Spirit. Now, many times I have not walked perfectly since then. Many times flesh has become frustrated, almost to the point, not quite sure. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm not quite sure I have actually prayed that prayer that Asaph did. But Asaph was before the dispensation of the Holy Ghost too. Come on. The Jesus Christ said, I'm going to send back a comforter in my name, and that comforter dwells within us. So we got something that should check us before we get too far out there and too mad and too upset. But in saying all that, there has been times when I've been very angry, very frustrated, and very confused over, Lord, why are you allowing all this to happen, this, that, and other? And I have to pray again. So here we're going to pick up in verse 8. And I don't know about you, but it almost seems like it's a different person writing. Amen. It's a different person when we're led by the Spirit of the Lord. When we get that flesh under subjection. Amen. And I don't know about you, but that's a constant battle with me. I have to keep my flesh under subjection. And I have to let the Spirit have superiority over the flesh. Because if it's the other way around, then you're going to get in a heap of trouble. But now he picks up. Now he's just said, pour out your wrath, devour all of them, and just wipe them off. But then in verse 8, and then he says, oh. Has anybody ever said, oh? Oh. You know, we do that sometimes when we've been pointed out that we made a mistake. And we're almost at a loss for words, and we just say, oh. Oh, yeah. Anybody ever said, how many husbands have we got in the... You know, we don't go all the way and say, oh, yeah, baby, you were right. We just say, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That's our way of admitting. And all of a sudden, after all of this frustration, this anger, this finger pointing, he says, oh, remember not against us former iniquities. There's a humbling experience when God holds a mirror in front of us. A spiritual mirror. When we're looking at the faults of others. And the wonderful thing, he's pouring it out, and it doesn't seem like God has answered him anything. He hadn't tried to cool him down. He hadn't tried to say, oh, now he'd say, come on, get a hold of yourself. You know you're better than that. You know you're bigger than that. You know you're supposed to love one another. He lets him boil it out. But then I think, the Spirit of God kind of grips his heart. And Asaph remembers, he said, you know what? We ain't been the most perfect people, really. Israel has made its mistakes. And here everybody begins to pray. Remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us. For we are brought very low. When we realize that if we will just repent, if we will just ask God to forgive us, here, maybe it was, and this is the point I want to make, maybe it wasn't Asaph. Maybe he had remained true to God through all of the adversity, even though those around him, Israelites, the children of God, were looking and desiring other gods and other idols and building groves and building statues and all of those things that the children of Israel did to provoke the goodness and the mercy of God. Maybe Asaph was not a part of that, but Asaph begins to pray for repentance for all of Israel. Is there an example there for us, church? Maybe we're not caught up in the bad things of the world. But we're in the world. Rather than pointing those things out and getting frustrated and aggravated, could we not pray as a nation, Father, forgive us as a nation, for as a nation, for as a whole, we have sinned. And we have been disobedient unto God in many areas, not 100%, but enough to cause a lot of problems to come upon us as a people. So Asaph says, remember not against us. Lord, strike them down, but don't hold me accountable. Almost as he says, and then he realizes, you know what, Lord? If it wasn't for your mercy, if it wasn't for your grace, where would I be? And then he says in verse 9, help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. And as I read that and I got down to there, it was almost like verse 8 and 9 just had no part in that entire psalm, because it was a total mindset. How many knows that's what God will do sometimes? When we're praying and we're praying all this thing, maybe it's a selfish prayer, maybe it's a prayer of frustration, maybe it's just totally upset with everything that's going on, and we finally realize how gracious and merciful God is, and how that, you know what, Lord, just get me right. Make my life holy. Make my life acceptable to you. Lord, don't make me get mad and upset. Help me to pray for those that spitefully use you. Pray for those that are lost. Pray for those that come against. Because, again, we don't have to remind God the shape that the world is in. He knows. He understands. And God has a purpose for everything that he does. So he says, help us, O God, our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name, for thy name's sake. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 59. Isaiah, a mighty prophet of God, pointed out something very, very important, because he too saw and witnessed the sins of Israel. And in verse 1 and 2 of the 59th chapter, he said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. And basically what that means is we do it like this. Lord, where are you? How long, Lord, are you going to allow this happen? How long are you going to let us be persecuted, all this situation? He puts it this way, Lord, your hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. We don't have to scream to get in touch with God. Aren't you thankful for that? Sometimes we can just whisper the words. Sometimes we can speak it from our heart. And God already knows the situation, and he's already there to help us. But then he says, he's speaking to the children of Israel now, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. It wasn't that God left us. It's that our sins blocked his blessings. I want to tell you something about God. God loves you. God loves us. He loves this world. How do you know that? John 3:16. He said he loved this world. He created this world. His desire is that we love him in return. And you know, surrender our life to him and live a life that is pleasing unto him. But your iniquities, he said, Israel, or the children of Israel, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. He just said that his arm is not shortened, and he said his ear is not heavy that he could not hear. But your sins have caused him not to hear. It's blocked the blessings. It's blocked those good things that he wanted to do for you. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, followed along in that same context. And he said in verse number, or in the fifth chapter of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is again known as the weeping prophet, again for the children of Israel, began to speak in verse number 25 of the fifth chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And bear with me as I do just a little reading here, because I want you to see a type and shadow of the events in the world today and the situations, maybe how the church needs to be praying for these events. Rather than getting upset at the TV or the news or this and that and the other. And I'm not condoning. Neither was Asaph. Neither was Isaiah. And neither was Jeremiah. They were simply pointing out the facts. And how that the church. And folks, when I'm talking about the church, I'm not talking about First Pentecostal, okay? I'm talking about the body of believers. Amen. And you know, sometimes we get a little frustrated because there's not a whole lot of us, but there's a lot of believers around the world. Amen. There's a lot of prayers that are going up right now. There's prayers that are going on in foreign lands that you and I don't even know about. And God's hearing those prayers and God's honoring those prayers. And God is perfectly in tune and aware of everything that's transpiring in the world today. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need us to point out those things. He needs us to believe for victory. He needs us to believe that God is in charge. How many believes that the Lord is in charge? Think he's going to do things the way he wants to do them. Amen. And they will be right. Jeremiah said again, echoing what Elijah said, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. I mean, to realize that we could be blessed way beyond measure if this nation would again turn to God. Thank God for the remnant. God's going to always have a people. If you believe that and get proud to be a part of that remnant, put your hands together. God's going to always have a people. Amen. For among my people are found wicked men. God's talking about his people. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fear, the fatherless, yet they prosper. Now, I know that we haven't been like David and said, Lord, you know, I'm living for you and I'm trying to do the very best I can. These people don't even care about you, don't even acknowledge you, and they're just living, they're having success and being blessed. You know, David couldn't understand why the wicked prosper. And if we're not careful as a church, we'll begin to look at, but that's material things, folks. That's their reward here. How many knows? Wait till you see our reward. Wait till you see what God has laid up in store for those who remain true to him. So he says, as a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause and the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? We cannot stray from the word of God. We're not here to entertain folks, to make folks feel good, and to preach things that are not in the word of God. Because when we do that, what is going to be the end thereof? I've heard many a pastor, heard many an evangelist, many a preacher say, I do not want anybody in judgment pointing a finger at me and say, why didn't you tell me about salvation, or why didn't you preach salvation? Folks, we need to love one another as God has loved us. Amen. And how long? That's not a question we need to ask the Lord. How many knows this whole thing is in his time, in his way, and he will work things out according to his plan. May God bless you. Continue to pray one for another. Continue to pray for this terrible sickness that is in the land. And you know, for whatever origin it is, it's still powerful. It's terrible. And we need to pray for one another. A lot of people, you know, the sickness is bad enough, but I think the fear is even greater than the sickness. And Satan loves to have the people living in fear. But you know what? Perfect love casteth out fear. And our faith in God will be the overcomer of that fear. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. Praying, praying, praying. You know, we hear it. We hear it. We've heard it since we began to go to church. But prayer is the thing. As Brother Jim said, you know, kneeling down on my knees, that's when I'm closer to the Lord. Pray one for another. If you don't have anything else to pray about, pray for your pastor. Amen. But this world needs our prayers. Rather than pointing our fingers at it, let's pray. Let's pray like we've never prayed before. What does the Bible say about the prayer of a fervent man? The earnest expectation of, or the earnest prayer of a fervent man availeth much. Amen. If we want to see a change, let us pray. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. May you have a wonderful evening. Would you stand tonight? This altar is always open. If you have a need tonight, we believe in praying for you. If you're sick, the Bible says, call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and they'll be healed. Amen. God is the healer of the body. So if you have a need tonight, please come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Amen. If some come, some of you elders, if you would, gather around, and let's pray for these needs tonight. And not only the needs that are in the church, but so many needs that people have requested. There's a lot of sickness, and we need to remember in prayer for those. Thank you for that prayer. And I ask you again to please keep our cousin in your prayers. Sarah's, she's recovering. She's doing pretty good. She's at home. But Joel, she was really, really concerned, and rightfully so, that they have him on the ventilator. They want to get him to the University of Alabama, Birmingham, but they can't transport him until they wean him off of the ventilator. So in the time that they were trying to do that, he suffered a stroke. And he does have pneumonia on top of that. So, but I know we serve a healing God. And I told her that we would be praying especially for that situation tonight. So please remember him. Brother Jim, would you come dismiss us with a word of prayer? God bless you. We love each and one of you.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap. As Brother Eddie was talking about us praying, and I just think, too, I too, where I work, there's so many different situations of the sickness and so many complications. It's just going in all different directions. So I would just like to ask each and every one of you, as we stand in for these spoken prayer requests and for these special ones, for those that are suffering right now, or we even know some from our church that's in the recovery mode, and good to see one back this evening from his family, and they're just recovering. So I'm just going to ask y'all, if you will, and whoever the Lord lays on your heart right now as we pray to close, and the spoken prayer request, let's pray for those specific.
Amen.
God knows what's in our heart, and he knows who needs it. But I think if you have someone in your mind and those that were spoken tonight, let's just lift them up as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for giving us the opportunity to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as your message is brought forth, Lord, may we receive it in the direction that you would have it to go. Dear Lord, we thank you and ask you to bless the messenger that brought us the message tonight, dear Lord, and his family. Lord, strengthen each and every one of us. Dear Lord, we all know someone right now that's suffering. There's a name or a situation that pops in our mind right now. And, dear Lord, we're asking you to touch that situation. Dear Lord, we know that you're the great healer, the great physician. Lord, the creator of all, you know the makeup of each and every one of us. Lord, may we turn from our ways, dear Lord. May we just repent of our ways. Lord, may we seek you in our walk. Lord, and for as we pray for our family, our friends, those we work with, our country, those that are right now being held hostage, dear Lord, those that are in situations that they don't see an answer, Lord, may your Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Lord, just rain on them, dear Lord. Let them feel your peace. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. And in Jesus' name we all say, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Be careful. We'll see y'all Sunday morning for Sunday school.